That covers it. Amen. Oh, that's my sermon title. Wow. Thank you, God, for a great lead-in. That was phenomenal. How about that? We know who God is, right? All those things we sang about. And especially when you say he is my God. You are my God. And no one can take your God from you ever. That's absolutely the truth. So the other part of that, as we go into scriptures this morning, I want to make sure that we, in order for us to change and grow, because that's part of when we have God in us, when we go to Jesus Christ and accept him as our Lord and Savior, and we give all of ourself and say, here, take me as I am and make me as you are, and we give ourselves to the Lord, we give all of our mind, heart, and soul to God, then we start to change, don't we? So I want to be sure that everybody in here, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now would be a good time to do that. He says, come follow me. Come follow me. And he wants all of us to follow in his footsteps and to become more and more like God. God sent his son to us so we could have a strong, intimate, loving relationship with God, and one in which we can become loving and awesome and wonderful just like our God is, right? We want to be, just like God. I'm going to say it that way. That's enough. Okay. I'm going to go to the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4 this morning. And this is 1 Peter 4:8. It's a very short verse, and then we're going to go backwards into the book of Genesis, and they're all going to correlate, I hope, and pray this morning, because we've got a lot of ground to cover, though. We're going to go from Genesis to 1 Peter 4:8. Okay, so I hope you're comfortable. Thank you. All right. This was when Peter wrote this, it was at a time of suffering for the early Christian and the early Christian church. Nero was in power. Rome had been burned. And they blamed, of course, the Christians for that. Of course, obviously. I guess there weren't enough of us around, so couldn't blame us. But needless to say, essentially, the Jews and the Gentiles and all the people were in disarray and really having a problem. There was a lot of conflict and dissension, and there was division, and there was infighting all the time. A way different time than we've ever known in any of our lifetimes. So needless to say, Peter writes, and he's writing to the church again because he's speaking, and he's speaking to the people that are new Christians especially, have becoming like Christ, right? They've given their lives to him. They're following him, and they're under persecution at the same time. People hated them. They were cast out all the time, many times, and there was a lot of conflict going on. And so Peter, being the first pastor that Jesus left behind, he talks to the people through this letter, 1 Peter 4:8, and he says this: most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Most importantly, no matter what's going on around you guys, no matter if Rome's burning or not, if people are hating you and trying to persecute you and trying to hurt you, trying to harm you, if anybody's ever offending you, in church, out of church, wherever you might be, if you have a problem with other people, no matter who they are, most important of all, you followers of Christ, continue. What does continue mean? Keep going. Don't stop. Continue on. Even though you could get interrupted by it. Does anybody here ever have a problem with another human being ever? Oh, one hand went up. Okay. It also says confess your sins to one another. You know, it's confession's good for the soul. Yes, I have problems with other people once in a while, right? Don't we? Especially when they're not like us, right? You know, most of us, we go around, we wish people would be like me. That would be scary, huh? And you want people to be like you. Do we not have expectations of people how they ought to be? The shoulds. We have the shoulds and the shouldn'ts. Right? They should do this. They shouldn't have done that. They should have done this. They would have done that. If they don't have done it my way, anybody ever grow up in a house like that, maybe even? Taught that? We learned it well, didn't we, some of us, right? But we came to Christ, didn't we? And as Peter is saying here, we have to be different. Most of all, we must, regardless of what's going on around us, regardless of how people offend us, regardless of what people call us, regardless of whether people agree with us, regardless of whether people will do it our way or not, we must do what? Continue to love them. Continue to love them. Hard as it is. Did I say it was going to be easy? Okay, good. So I just wanted to put that out there. It says, for love, love. God's kind of love, not our human love, which, by the way, we studied that in Bible study last week. Love is the very first fruit of the Spirit. Most important. Everything else comes from that, doesn't it? And if we don't love one another, we're not like God at all, are we? So needless to say, love covers a multitude of sins. How many of you have a multitude of sins, by the way? Oh, don't raise your hand. Sorry. No, I don't want to look. I'm not going to look. Oh, yeah, the fingers go like that. I don't have any, but he does. They should have done this, and they shouldn't have done that. That's sinning, right? How easy is it for us to be finger pointers? We can point out everybody else's flaw, but, oh, sorry. Okay. But love, God's kind of love covers a multitude of sins. And when you think about covering, right, the word cover, right, think of it, right, from beginning to end, if you want to cover something and put it out of sight, right, and it covers a bunch of categories, when you cover a bunch of topics like I'm doing this morning in one sermon, what happens is you're covering a lot of bases, aren't you, right? So if you have a lot of multitudes of a multiplicity and diverse gifts of sinning, all those, that multitude, are covered by what? Love. Whose love? God's love. Through Jesus Christ, right? That's the first and foremost thing we have to understand. Our sins have been forgiven by his blood on the cross. He covered it all. And when we think about covering, I look, you know, I've been on a word thing lately, apparently, because I'm kind of losing words from time to time. But needless to say, the word cover, to hide from sight or knowledge. Oh. Conceal. I like my makeup. Hopefully. Defray the cost of. You cover it. You pay for somebody else's meal, right? You cover the cost. Jesus did that. Act as a substitute or a replacement to cover someone else's debt, to cover someone else's sins. Punishment, you cover it. You replace it. You substitute yourself. That's what Jesus was, the great substitution, the scapegoat. Protect from harm. You think about being covered, right, from the rain or whatever it is, right? We're undercover here, right? That's what a covering is. Protection from harm. Even though we should be harmed, let's say, because of sin, right? We sometimes, you know, we think we want to retaliate or we should give people what they deserve. Who said amen? Okay. Give people what they deserve, but don't give me what I deserve. Is what I want to say, right? Most of us want that. Let them get theirs, but I don't want mine. Oh, boy. You humans, we're fun, aren't we? But protect from harm. And then encapsulate. Think about that. Cover. You know when you're cold, I know it's not winter here in Florida, but we kind of have to cover ourselves from the sun right now, right? But sometimes when it's really cold, think about getting under a warm blanket, what it feels like when you, and they say, put on your covers, right? That's maybe an old term for some of you. They call them blankets today, apparently. But cover up, right? And so, well, let me talk about covering up. See, covering is different than covering up. Covering up is justifying. Covering up is hiding it. Covering up is saying, I didn't eat the last donut. powder on your mouth, right? Some of us can't cover up very well, can we? No. And that's what brings me to the book of Genesis. Because, see, there's going to be a correlation between a cover and a cover-up. See, it's important for us to admit that we are imperfect, and we make mistakes, and we fall short, and we don't always love the way God would want us to love, right? That in and of itself is sinful, because it's not like God. It's missing the mark. The mark, our target is being like Christ, right? So sin is missing the mark. So when we're like us instead of Christ, we miss the mark, don't we? Your best self is your Christ self, right? Your worst self is your worst self, and everywhere in between. And we miss the mark, and that's what sin really is all about. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve. You know the story of Adam and Eve. Remember them? First two humans on the planet. God told them as he put them in the beautiful paradise in the Garden of Eden. And he said, you're going to have anything you want there except for the one fruit of the tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. God wanted to cover that from them, evil, so that they would only enjoy paradise and only enjoy the good. Wouldn't that have been a great life? Oh, Adam and Eve. Oh, sorry. Okay. Well. I know if I would have been there, I wouldn't have eaten that. See how easy we judge others, right? How easy is it? Oh, boy. Anyway. So we know that the chapter 3, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the creatures the Lord had made. And that God had told him not to eat that. And he said, really? You sure about that? Did God really say that? That you must not eat any of the fruit in the garden? Of course we may eat it, the woman told him. It's only the fruit from the tree at the center of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God says we are not to eat it or even touch it, or we will die. So she knew exactly what not to do, right? She had it right. She remembered what God said to do. Didn't she? Or not to do. Didn't she? We know we're supposed to love, aren't we? We know that, don't we? And we do it every time, don't we? Oh, whoops. Eve. Okay. And the serpent, the devil, Satan, says to her, to trick her, to deceive her, to tempt her. First time, he's going to just kind of get inside her mind. And he says, you won't die. God knows your eyes will be opened when you eat it. You'll become just like God, knowing everything, both good and evil. That's why God doesn't want you to eat that. So you see how he's talking her into it? She goes, oh, wow, okay, I won't die? Oh, okay. God said over here, he's serpent over here saying something different. I'm going to go with what I want. And probably nothing bad's going to happen to me anyway, right? See how we justify things, right? Anybody here ever, like, oh, okay. You don't have to raise your hand. I'll just keep raising mine. The woman was convinced. The fruit looked. Watch out what your eyes see. Looks can be deceiving, can't they? All that glitters is not gold, is it? Look. But she looked, man. And it looked fresh and delicious. It would make her so wild. I got a good reason to do this, right? Don't we all have good reasons for the things that we do? Even after you mess up, don't you kind of say to yourself, well, you know, it's all going to work out in the end. I learned something from this bad experience of disobeying God. Anyway, oh, keep talking about myself here all day. Okay, sorry. So she ate some of the fruit. She also gave some to her husband who was with her. And he ate it too. He's an easy mark, isn't he? He just goes with what the wife says. How many of us want a wife like that? Oh, yes. Okay. So anyway. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame. Their eyes were open to what? That they had done wrong. And they knew good and evil. And then they thought of themselves now as what? Evil. And they felt what experience? Shame. That isn't such a good feeling, is it, Shane? Guilt is not a good feeling, is it? and they felt shame at their nakedness. So they strung fig leaves together around their hips to cover themselves. They're going to hide. This is a cover-up, right? This is the first cover-up that ever happened. Toward evening, they heard the Lord God walking about in the garden, so they hid themselves. Why? Why are they hiding from God? They felt ashamed. See, the problem that all of us face is when we make a mistake and we succumb to whatever temptation that comes upon us, or we do things just by not thinking, or whatever the case might be. And we just can't seem to get it right because our human self overcomes our spiritual self. You know, the flesh and the spirit are at war all the time inside of us because we're partially human and we're trying to become divine through the Holy Spirit in us, right? And if we would just succumb and surrender to the Holy Spirit and do it God's way, we wouldn't ever make a mistake, would we? Say no. Thank you. All right. So instead, they feel shame. So they're going to cover it up. They hid among the trees. The Lord called to Adam, "Where are you?" "Adam, I want to be here with you." "Hey, Adam. Eve, are you in there somewhere? Where are you? Why are you? What's going on?" Adam replied, "I heard you, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you you were naked?" the Lord said. "Have you eaten the fruit I commanded you not to eat by chance?" Who told you were naked? How did you know you were naked? And why is nakedness suddenly so bad and evil? "Yes," Adam admitted, "but it was the woman who gave me the fruit, and I ate it. She made me. It wasn't me. I was just minding my business. I was listening to her talk to Satan, and I was just standing beside her as a good, dutiful husband would, and I listened to everything that Satan told her, and she ate it. And then she handed it to me, and I ate it too. It's my wife, after all." Then the Lord asked the woman, "How could you do such a thing?" "The serpent tricked me. That's what it was. The serpent. If that serpent hadn't talked to me, I never would have done this. That's why I ate it." You see what covering up is? You see what it is? Way back over here, when God said, "Don't do it," all they had to do was, "Don't do it." And even if they did it, instead of feeling that shame, which is a negative feeling, understanding that God is a loving God, which is what we now know. We're way, eons, we're way in the end of the Bible, right? So we understand all about God's forgiveness, don't we? Much, much later, don't we? If only they would have just gone to God and said, "I know you told me not to eat that fruit. I ate it. I'm sorry." What would God say? "You're forgiven." Because love covers a multitude of sins, doesn't it? God's love. God's love does. So we get all the way to the New Testament, don't we? And people continue to do things not always in the best way, correct? And they continue to blame other people and other reasons why they do what they do, right? And if you want to be a good sinner, you have to be a good excuse maker to justify yourself. But we don't want to be good sinners, do we? We want to be like Christ, don't we? So that's why we confess to God when we make a mistake. We go to God and say, "I did this. I messed up. You told me to love those people, and I cussed that guy out right at the red light. Please forgive me." And God blows up your car, and you'll never drive again. Oh, no. He covers us, right? He covers us. He conceals the sin. As soon as we confess it, and as soon as we feel the remorse of it, the regret of it, and we ask God to help us change, because that's the other side of it too, right? We don't want to keep doing the same wrong things all the time, do we? Of course not. Christ died once. We don't want to keep crucifying him every time we commit the same kind of sins, do we? We want to ask for God to help us change and grow through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we ask. I can promise you this, I bet you Adam and Eve never ate another piece of that fruit. Right? There's something beneficial sometimes to shame and guilt if it's put in the right context, in the sense of you feel that I can never do this again. It's too hurtful to others. It's too hurtful to God. I never want to offend God again. I love God so much and too much. Right? And that's called repentance. That's called changing. That's called asking God to make your heart different, make your mind different, and to listen and obey his word as he gives it to us. So the good news is this. Jesus covered all the sins of all humanity once and for all, including Adam and Eve's. Right? So that's the example that we're shown. We're shown that through Jesus, his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness is for whom? Who? Everybody? Even Adam and Eve? After what they did to ruin our lives? Oh. All right, so enough about them. Let's talk about you guys for a second, all of you. Oh. To cover is to hide from sight. And the reason Peter was speaking to the church particularly, you know, it's not always the great big things that we do that's wrong sometimes that can get on people's nerves or whatever the case might be. Or we might, the way in which we look at other people in terms of how we treat them or feel about them, it may not be these great big things, but these little annoyances. You ever, the shouldas and the shouldn'ts that people do and that you wish they would be more like you, me? Us. I pray that they're more like Jesus. That's my prayer all the time. In fact, instead of me saying that about them, I have to say that about who? Me. There it comes back to me. I. Us. Right? But to cover, to hide. What if we decided to stop looking at people's faults? Because we picked on Adam and Eve pretty good this morning, don't you think? And it's so easy to look at other people. And sometimes the offenses that people have, especially in close proximity to us, especially in the early church, where they were under a lot of duress and a lot of conflict and so on and so forth, they could have easily have turned against each other, correct? And a house divided will never stand, will it? No. So we need to stop the conflict between us, whoever us is. So if you are with another person at any given moment, or even in your own mind, thinking of another person, and you suddenly feel judgmental towards them, or you feel hurt by them, and you want to retaliate against them, you need to do what? Forgive? Because love, you're supposed to love everyone, right? And love covers a multitude of sins, does it not? So if we can walk around as Christians like this more often and stop looking at other people's faults, we wouldn't be offended half the time, would we? If we didn't see the wrong in someone else, whoever they may be, no matter whether they're at the top of the ladder of success or the bottom of the barrel, if we didn't look at them and see the things that we perceive they do wrong, and we don't judge them, and because it's covered by love instead, could you be upset all the time? Would you be upset? You would be just doing what? Loving them. Now, I can't give you all blindfolds. We don't have enough to go around. Although you could take your old mask and maybe use it. But I wanted to point out that's, you know, we need to stop looking at other people's sin when even when they hurt us. Even if they hurt us a million zillion hours, days ago, right? We need to stop bringing it in the forefront of our mind and looking at it and getting angry again, getting upset again, and being hurt again, and wanting to hurt them again, right? We need to do what? Forgive it. Stop looking at it. Cover it so you can't see it anymore. That's what forgiveness does. And the same is true toward yourself, obviously. That's one of the other things that's so important for all of us to do. How many of you can probably calculate or give me a list of all the things you've done wrong? Anybody want to volunteer? No. We'd be here the rest of the day, probably, I'm sure, but if you were going to hear mine. But do they exist anymore? Where are they? They're covered. They're hidden. They're erased. Remember the color of the church a few months ago? Remember what it looked like? Yes, no. But we covered it pretty good, didn't we? Now, you might find a little spot where there's a little bit of that old color there. And if you do, we have paintbrushes and we have extra paint, so you can do what with that spot? Cover it. So if you've got a little bit of guilt or shame or regret or resentment or hostility towards another or a grudge towards someone else or something you're holding against somebody else for any reason, it's time to get out the paintbrush and cover it with Jesus Christ's love and blood. Because guess what? When God opens up your life plan in front of him of all your past stuff, you know what he sees? Nothing. We're pretty boring people after all. Because it's all been forgiven. It's under the blood. It's covered by the blood of the Lamb. That's just not a song. But it is a song, but I'm not going to sing it to you. But needless to say, right? It's all covered. It's all covered. Peter found it so important. Think about who Peter was, right? Not exactly Mr. Perfect. But he understood forgiveness. That's why he could preach it. I think that's why I can preach it too. Because I know what it feels like to be forgiven. And I also know what it feels like to forgive others. How it takes such energy and darkness off of you when you forgive everyone. When you can't see it anymore or feel it anymore, and you're just living your life to the best possible way and enjoying it by loving others and being loved. Wouldn't you want that kind of life? Comes only through Jesus Christ. He gives us that to us through the power of his Holy Spirit. Love, most importantly, more than anything, all the time, no matter who they are. Can we this morning repent from the word should? I solemnly swear by the power of God and the Holy Spirit, I will never say the word should again. Wait a minute, you didn't say it with me. Can you stop shoulding on yourself? And stop shoulding on other people? There's enough should to go around. And I don't want to have a shouldn't life. Do you? But I will follow Jesus. I will listen to the power of the Holy Spirit speak inside of me and let only love that's inside come out towards everyone. Is that your vow this morning? Is that your prayer this morning? So the next time you're reminded of something that you've done or someone else has done and it comes into your vision, close your eyes. Stop looking at it if you don't have a blindfold. And remind yourself that's been covered by the blood of the Lamb. That's been forgiven. And I'm not even going to begin to entertain that thought ever again. So for all of you that are here and anybody watching, if you have a multitude of sins, or a few, they're all covered. So guess what happens when you leave today? You're leaving empty-handed. You're leaving empty-headed, which is an okay thing for now. But your heart is full of mercy and grace and love. And take that same love that you've received from God and give it to others. So by your love, they'll know that we really are truly like Christ, a Christian, a little Christ who loves everyone, no matter what. Amen? Amen.